Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And we have wonderful guests that are joining us today. Jessica, would you do the pleasure?
I would love to. To my right, we have a young lady that hails from Las Vegas. She has a monthly show at the Stratosphere. I forgot the name of it, and Andrew has my phone. It's the Filth
Factory. It's the Filth Factory.
Oh, I knew it.
Oh, I love it. The Filth Factory.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
we make Bibles.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And she also has two podcasts of her own, right?
Yeah, I do. The Rise to Offend podcast, which is an audio documentary podcast. We cover like the most offensive figures in history.
Oh, wow.
And then Metal Sucks, where we interview like the biggest names in metal. We interviewed all the Grammy nominees this year for Best Metal Album.
Oh, wonderful.
And then we make fun of the metal news because crazy stuff happens in the metal world all the time that makes no sense.
And that's Jocelyn Sharp.
Yeah, that's me.
Yay! Thank
wonderful.
You for coming.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
and
you for
what
having
about
me.
This gentleman over here?
Okay, well, this gentleman, he is a writer. He's a producer. He is a filmmaker. He's an actor. I did not know that you were on, I knew you were on Boardwalk Empire, but you were on The Sopranos?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That was really cool.
I was.
He's a hilarious comedian, you guys. Put your hands together for Nick Novicki.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, Nick. Nick, I've always wanted to work with you, so I'm so excited that you're here.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And by the way, Boardwalk Empire was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
What character did you play on that?
I played Carl. He was like a boxer, and I used to work with Steve Buscemi's character, so I was kind of like the ringleader. I was sort of like the underboss of little people that did all kinds of crazy stuff in Atlantic City. So it was like a, kind of a gangster.
Yeah. Wow, there you go.
Really cool. You really looked the time period.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool how they made you look.
Oh, it was awesome. It was fun.
Yeah, that must have been like just the memory of a lifetime to work on a show like that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Now, for all of you people joining us, this is what we do on The Liars Club. We invite two of our comedy pals on, and we ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth and one is a lie. And Jessica and I will be asking questions as you tell your stories, and we're going to figure out which one is the lie. Jessica, by the way, will sometimes interrupt and get a little aggressive. And then we'll rotate the stories around. You don't say which one is the lie or the truth. We guess it at the end. And please don't do stories where it's two truths and then you confess it at the end, because we've had people do that a million times already.
Nick looks a little worried.
Dude, she gets pissed. She gets angry. She gets really mad.
It's just like all of a sudden you just fight me at the end of it. You like start like, I told you not to do that. I told you to do your homework.
Dare you come into my house? My house.
Can That's we make how them she both up on it. The spot? Is that? Yeah.
she gets a little angry about it. And who would like to start?
I guess I can start.
Okay, great.
I'll make
it
easy. I ran over myself with my own car 2 years ago.
Right into it. Okay.
Yeah, I was on the road in Oklahoma, and I was in the middle of the woods. And
that's where Andrew's from.
In the middle of the woods. Cool.
Yes. So we found him in the middle of the woods, and we said, "Will you come produce our podcast?" Yep, that's how it went.
So I'm in the middle of the woods, and I'm a desert rat. I grew up in Nevada, so I have an aversion to bugs of all kinds. I have a
They don't have fleas and stuff.
We don't have any
dogs. I didn't have to have them on flea protection.
We have cockroaches and scorpions. That's it.
I was gonna say you do have scorpions.
So we have the scariest bugs, but they're also like the most antisocial. So they don't ever come around. It's the first time I've been in Oklahoma since I was little, and I hadn't been there in a long time. And it was really humid. It was the summertime. There's bugs everywhere. And I'm rushing to get to a show. I have to drive 2 hours from where I'm staying to get to this show. I'm staying with my buddy and his wife in the middle of the who are now divorced. RIP. So I'm getting in the car. I'm rushing. I'm like, I have 2 hours to get there. 2 hours after I get there, I have to be on stage. So I'm like, I have to go now. I see a wasp out of the corner of my eye, which is like
scary. Scary, scariest. Even if you were used to them.
Right.
Right.
And my windows are rolled down because I'm trying to air my car out. You know, I like to let the hot air out to get the air conditioning going. That's like a trick my grandpa taught me. I don't know if it's real. So I have the windows open. The wasp comes right in. I start to panic. I'm in the middle of putting the address of the venue in my GPS.
But you're not driving. You're parked.
I'm not driving. Okay. I'm parked. Okay. But I had already put my car in reverse. And without thinking, I drop my phone and I jump out of my car, and my car starts to roll. I'm on a hill. The car door.
What kind of car did you have?
I have a Toyota Corolla. It's the car I'm still driving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I get pinned to the ground by my car door. It gets all the way up my back, and when it gets to my tits, it wedges me in between the gravel and the car. And
no, then, no, say this again.
Hold on.
Describe that again.
So
you jump out of your car.
I jump out of my car. It starts to roll.
Uh-huh.
The car door immediately hits me, knocks me to the ground, travels up my body. Once it gets to my boobs, there's not enough room for it to go over, so it wedges because I'm boob down. I'm nipple to the gravel.
Right.
And so are you moving, or did you stop a car with your boobs?
No, the car's still moving. It starts to drag me down their gravel driveway, which ends in a pond. So I'm screaming for my life. Nobody can hear me because I'm in the middle of the woods. I don't know what I'm going to do. My radio's like blaring like booty 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 rock. I'm like trying to like survive.
Right.
Terrified that my car is going to like go into this lake and that everyone's going to find me because all my Marlboro Light cigarette packs are going to float to the top and that's the only way they're going to find my body. I'm terrified I'm going to die. Luckily, my car, I haven't had the tires rotated or balanced in a very long time, so it just took an immediate 90-degree turn itself and went up onto the high center garden wall of their front garden.
Oh.
I get myself out from under it. My left tit is still completely ruined. I took most of the meat out of the top of it.
Shut
what?
Up!
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah,
what
like
do you mean?
Most. I had severe, severe road rash.
Oh, you had severe road rash on your left tit?
It looks like I'm turning into a dragon on that part of my body. Like
still?
It's just, yeah. It's like all scarred in like this pattern of scales.
Are
like,
you wearing a regular bra right now?
Yeah.
How are you? Why are you doing? You should be wearing like a bralette or something.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
What?
Okay. This happened 2 years ago. It's healed now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I thought
girls with big breasts don't wear bralettes.
Oh, well, they make them for us now. Rihanna does.
Yeah. So suck it.
Shout out
to
Riri.
I did. Did I say that in a mean, aggressive way? I didn't say you and your fat titties. I didn't say that. I thought.
They do make them out of Torrid.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah?
But
oh,
I
nice.
Generally don't because when you have big tits, you've had them your whole life. They don't have a shape for bralettes.
It's
you know?
True. But if I start to get like some irritation and stuff from the from all the underwire,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean, Nick, right?
Yeah.
So I'll wear the.
Of course.
I wear the bralettes.
Uh-huh. I'm wearing a bralette right now.
And I kind of want to see it, Nick.
So I ran myself over with my own car. That's what happened.
Wow,
my friend's cousin was a nurse. She came over. She scrubbed the gravel out of my boob, and I wrapped it up.
God.
And I got in the car, and I drove 2 hours, and I did my set. And then
how did you get... gravel in your were you
yeah how did that
because the driveway so as the car was dragging me it was pushing the gravel into my open road rash
yeah but
wound.
were you face down on the
face down yeah
okay.
face down on the dirt
so yeah. What you're saying is this is the car
yes
the door opens
yep and I
you
jumped
come
out
you...
I turned to run the opposite direction towards
oh,
my taillights
right.
And that's when the car started to roll and pin me to the ground.
So then the gravel came in through the
it came
top
in,
of the
it
bra.
It started to come into my bra, and then it pulled my tits out of my bra, and then I was just full on like deli meat slicer salami sandwich down that driveway, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. It was pretty brutal.
I can't even imagine. You know, I had this thing once where I was photographing my friend's wedding, and it was in Greece. And I was riding, it was so beautiful, you guys, and I was riding. I know, it was so beautiful. So I was driving a little scooter, like a little motorcycle. And I had my backpack
well,
of
can
camera.
I really
yes?
quick, I'm so sorry. I just want to correct you. A scooter.
A scooter. That's
A moped is a 50 cc's or under.
Uh-huh.
A scooter is 50 cc's or more.
This is what you meant by aggressive?
Yes. Yes.
About small motor vehicles.
I'm not the one with two stories that one could be a lie. So I'm telling you the truth, okay?
Okay.
It was a moped / scooter. Define it how you want to. Effing define it. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so I was going down this gravel road, right? And I had this beautiful skirt on and beautiful shoes and my camera back on my back. And I was in Greece and the sun was setting. And I was like, oh, my God, wind in my hair. Totally living the life, right? And then this older gentleman, for some reason, just darts right in front of me. And then I'm like, whoa.
Was he walking?
He was walking, but he just came out of nowhere,
and
right?
And you didn't want to hit
him. In my fantasy that I was having in that moment. And then I was like, what the? And I laid the bike down, and it laid on my leg. And I had a road rash all up my leg. And then I was like, what do I, my husband was there before we got divorced. He was at the hotel because I had to go early and take pictures. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm the photographer. And, you know, should I go? And then back to my husband. Then I was like, no, because he'd be like, he'd be mansplained. He'd be like fucking Andrew.
You need some major pantyhose.
He'd be Andrew all over the place, right? And it was so painful for, so I feel your pain when you're saying that it's road rash
is one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my life. When I cleaned the wound that night, I got back from the show and I'm like, I have to clean this because it'd been sitting for 7-8 hours at that point because I drove 2 hours there and 2 hours
back.
You
didn't clean it immediately?
Well, I cleaned it immediately. My friend's, her cousin next door came over. She was the nurse that scrubbed it for me. She cleaned it. She bandaged it hospital style. But when you bandage like a hurt titty, it like turns into like a Lieutenant Dan stump from Forrest Gump, you know?
Oh yeah, like pointy.
Yeah, so I had like one regular boob and then I had like for my whole set.
Welcome to Oklahoma. Come on.
Yeah, so I had to explain to the audience what happened immediately, and I had to tell the story like fresh off the boat of having it happen. But I get back to the house and I'm like in the bathroom and I'm like, okay, I can do this. Like I'm a grown ass woman.
Now, I will ask you, when the car was going backwards and it turned,
yeah,
how did you not end up under the wheel?
I was pinned under that door. I was literally like, imagine if you pinned a ruler under your fingers and you dragged it around. It's not going to rotate. Like, it's not, if there was gravel underneath, it was all traction.
Oh, at least you didn't lose a boob, I guess.
It was in fighting condition before this accident and not so much anymore, you know.
So then after the show, you went and cleaned it out. Did you find any more gravel?
I did find more gravel. So I flicked whatever gravel I could find out, you know, real classy. Like, uh-huh. And then I poured hydrogen peroxide on it.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm white trash.
Oh, my God.
No, I would have done that because the burn makes you know it's doing something.
Right? That's how you know. That's white trash first aid.
Yeah, people like, say that about VD all the time.
So I immediately like can feel, and I'm staying at my friend's house. They have 5 children. Like it's a normal house, right. And I'm in the guest bathrooms across from their guest bedroom, and I pass out shirtless halfway into the hallway.
Did you bleed on their sheets?
I bled on the carpet.
You passed out from the pain.
Cleaning it in the hallway, just titties out. You know,
in the hallway.
Yeah, because their
just
guest
gave
bathroom
this adolescent
is across
kid
the hallway.
Like
yeah.
A
their guest bedroom.
Ultimate like yes. Asking for somebody to just be naked in the bathroom when I come out.
I don't
here
care
in the
that
morning.
She's bloody. I mean, it's fine.
When you're 13, wow. You look past certain
Listen,
things.
Listen, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Wow, I'm so sorry if that happened to you.
You know what? It might have. I don't know. But
I always put if.
If it did, my fiance might have said the next day when I called him and I showed him the picture. He sent me a text back and he was like, "You ruined the good one." It was his favorite one.
So how big is the scar? You have a scar?
I'll show you the top of my breast if it happened to me. I will, because I would be able to show you, because I told you it looks like scales.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Oh, it's not down to my nipple, because it was like all the top meat.
Right.
You know, like the nipple, like my nipple already doesn't, it's not, you know, it's not the North Pole. It's more like Aruba, you know, where it resides. So it was already
Aruba,
at the.
Come on, pretty mom.
She was ready with it. She was ready with
She's
it.
She's always ready with it, by the way.
I think everyone's ready for Beach Boys all the time. Yeah.
Wow, that is a crazy,
that's crazy.
Crazy story.
Unfortunately, if you know me very well, it's not outside of the... I have so many stories of me grievously hurting myself.
Like, yeah.
I'm a terrible... Like, I'm so accident prone. I don't pay attention.
And when you do an accident, it always seems to happen in the most vulnerable part of your body, right?
Of course. Or when you're about to go to a show.
Right.
Every accident I've been in since I started to do comedy has been like 2 hours before a show.
Right.
And I've had to just be like, I don't care. I'll just pay for your new bumper. I have to go.
Right. Wow. That is a good first story.
Oh,
we
thanks.
Love that. We
okay.
love that. And now we're going to move it over to Nick. And,
yes. All right. So I'm gonna bring you back to my adolescence. You know, I go to Little People conventions since I was a kid. So I would always go. And there was 2 things that you would do. Like, a lot of times, you're playing sports during the day, and at nighttime, you're trying to, like, hook up.
That's trying to
like,
get laid.
You're trying to get laid.
Let me ask you this. How old were you when you the first time you went to a little person's convention?
I've been going since I was, like, 6. So, obviously, the agenda's changed, you know, as
you
get
older. Yeah, I
was going to say. As you get older. I wasn't, like, a 6-year-old, like, hey, what's up? Come here. You know, I'm talking for a minute. But so we're especially when you're an adolescent, that's when like the sports is like the craziest you're playing. You're like so into it. It's like a nutty time. And it's also the time where you're like, that's my girl. You know, you turn into like a 50s greaser. You know, you're like claiming girls. you're like so into it because it's like you can't. There's no luck. You're having no luck in, you know, when you're in high school or even in college. For me, like it was hard. You know, so I would, you know, this week was like, oh, this is my time. I gotta get, you know, this girl. So I saw this girl. I really liked her. You know, and. You know, we're kind of hanging out. It's ridiculous. It's like a lot of like slow dancing. It turns into like 1950s, like real quick. That's just kind of the structure how it happens at a conference. So we're, you know, I'm this one girl. You know, we're making out. All this is going on, and I'm thinking like, all right, now I'm in with this girl. This is like the one. So like, there's the World Dwarf Games happening at the same time.
Stop. There's
the Little People Convention, and then there's a World Dwarf Sports Competition. So you got little people from all over the world competing in the daytime for sports and at nighttime for the women of America.
So it's just hormones.
These are our girls.
When you went back to high school and you told your friends, like, no, I got a girlfriend, I swear, she just lives in another state.
All the time. I still do, and I'm married, you know? So it's like... there's like...
Nick, I'm very sorry to interrupt because I know you're about to get to the meaty part of the story.
Yeah.
What kind of sports did they play? You know, like, I have questions. Yeah.
Thank you. That needed to be asked.
Boxing, UFC.
UFC?
I was going to say.
It was like, it's like swimming and, you know, sport. You know, basketball is like the crazy, though. Yeah, there's no UFC. But, there is like track and field and there is swimming and it's awesome. I mean, I love it. I've been going since I was a kid. But you get like, it is like insane how aggressive it gets. People are like all of a sudden bloody. Like, it's like full contact, like crazy. People are like, and especially you get these international athletes and they've never been around other little people and they got their like, the country on and the uniform, and it's like they're in the Olympics.
Aggressive,
hardcore. They got the national anthem playing. It gets like really crazy. So, and especially certain countries, they only have like one team. So it's like all on these four people, and then they'll have like a couple cheerleaders and these other. So, but ultimately, so you get the crazy tension during the day, and then at nighttime, it's even more competitive where it's like, you know, part of it's like from sports earlier.
Is it mostly from the men or women too? As far as it's all men.
Women, like, that's my dick. Like.
Nah. No, because
that's what I would have been like. I feel like that's why
there's way more. See, I mean, you could, but that's the thing. Like, especially at like when there's a World Dwarf Conference, there's so many more men than women. And so it's like the odds that this is the other kind of layer of it where it's like, you're like, there's like a 5-to-1 guy to girl ratio at this kind of thing. And these are all like athletes. They're competitive. They're crazy.
And I could imagine if you were a competitive athlete as a little person or a dwarf, mm-hmm. and that to be able to play sports in your own hometown where you can't really shine in that.
I would play and they would be like, people would like cheer for me to shoot or like sometimes just like reject the crowd, you know, like just, you know, nail, you know, like, so when you're playing sports, no matter what, everybody thinks they're like Michael Jordan when they're amongst other little people.
Right.
Just the same way as like, you know, if you're like the one Latin comic in this town, all of a sudden you're like, I'm the best Latin comic ever. And you go on a show with all Latin comics and you're like, oh, wait a minute. There's a lot of people that are pretty good, you know? Like,
so was it like so competitive? Because if you were like the best athlete, you had like your choice of women. Was that like part of it?
I think that's in your head as like a teenager or like, you know, you're like, sure. Oh, if I make that basket, I could just pick anyone I want forever, you know? Like, and then they're like, they're probably not even watching, you know? But like in your head, you're like building all this up. So ultimately, like, I'm trying to, you know, we're competing, we're doing all these things, and there's this one girl I got my eye on her, and there's a little Spanish guy, and I'm going off and I'm drinking with friends, and I come back and he's like dancing, but like aggressive, you know, he's like a salsa dancer, he's like doing all these
he's really getting into it,
you know, and I'm like, ah, just play it off, be cool, don't like, get too aggressive.
Because what are the odds that the girl that you like knows how to salsa like that,
well,
too?
Well, I mean, she's not salsa. It's like him salsaing by himself. He's, like, with her, like, you know, just, like, getting all, but, like, you know, like, Dirty Dancing style, you know? And I'm like, man, this is getting crazy. This little Spanish guy is, like, stepping up, you know? So I'm getting, like, I'm getting mad. I'm like, ah, oh, this is, you know, this is frustrating me. You know, so eventually, you know, I'm just like, I let it go. And now I'm like hanging with my friends, but you're drinking more. So now I'm like, you know, the booze are coming. And since, like, you know, I go from like a 2 to a 10, I'm like, come on, fight me. Fight me for America. I'm like now just yelling at him. I'm like challenging his whole country, you know, everything about him. So it's like,
come on, Salsa Sanchez.
So then everything like calms down. But, you know, and I'm like,
Jessica.
Yeah, exactly. Jessica. Whoa, Jessica. Hey, easy. You're right here. You're offended some of the guests.
No, no. I'm not, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm not of that persuasion. Oh. But I am laughing because of Felicia's face.
She will say
that was so
some
immediate.
Crazy shit. Yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
Well, because he was doing the salsa, not because of the salsa you dip.
No, sure. No. He's more like...
That's the problem with
this. I'm saying the salsa is like the classy way. He's like just straight up grinding on her. You know, he's like, he starts with like his little.
So he was dancing all by himself,
like,
then he shimmies over to her and starts to air grind on her.
So now I'm leaving, I'm like, I'll play it cool. And then like, start drinking, everything is crazy. So I get in his face, whatever. It's broken up quick. But then it turns into like me challenging him, you know, throughout the, because here's the thing, the Little People Convention goes on. It's like a 5 days, 6 days.
Oh, this is just the first night.
This is like, I don't even know what night it is. It's like in the conference, whatever. Anything, you know, it ends. That kind of was it with me and the girl. They end up like kind of hooking up more, and I'm like, just whatever, man. I don't care. You know, I'm like kind of like doing one of these, like, stop.
So you
me. I'm, like,
behaved
a little bit.
You
know?
Behaved so poorly that a man salsaing by himself got the girl.
Yeah, exactly. then I challenged the fight, and they went crazy. And then it was broken up as like a normal fight does. Everyone's like, relax, it's not worth it. You know, like turns into a very like 80s movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just ends. You know, it all ends. But then here's the thing, it doesn't end because there's a Little People Convention for like 5-6 days. This is the time of MySpace. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to start attacking this kid, you know? And I'm like, when you come back to the U.S., like, here's where I live. I'm giving him like my address. So I'm giving him where I go to school. And I'm like, I want you to come here so we could properly fight. You know, like I'm challenging him. I'm like, you're, you know. So here's what he ends up coming to the U.S. for a trip. It ends up that he's coming to the U.S. for a trip. So I don't actually see him, but people like that I know keep telling me like, hey, he's around, you know, like
he's in your town.
And he's been in Philly, you know, like I went to school in Philly. Like there was a little guy, a little Spanish guy here who's been asking about you.
There's a
little
Spanish
guy
looking for you.
He's looking for you. And I'm like, man, this is kind of wild, man. So like I stopped emailing him because ultimately like he had like a little bit of flair. Like he could have just ended up like. Like, he knew some crazy Spanish version of, like,
you
martial arts.
You saw how
arts.
He danced.
I saw how he danced, and I was like, look, I'm going to leave it alone, man, you know?
So did you see him?
I never saw him.
Wow.
But you had kept emailing him?
But I had kept, I was challenging him, and then it seemed like he accepted the challenge, but I never found him. I never saw him again, never heard from him.
I just like that you guys were, like, hip-hop beefing on MySpace. That's great.
Yeah. Wow.
Or maybe
how
you weren't.
Old,
I don't know.
How old were you?
I was 20.
You were 20.
Wow. Is there a lot of underage drinking at this conference?
Yeah.
Ooh, snitch. All right, I like your style.
Yeah, good I mean, catch. Certainly. I mean, there was when I, look, I'm not like hanging out with under 21-year-olds. I'm 36. I'm not like a creepy guy. It's like, hey, guys, you guys need beer? You know, like I'm not like that dude. You know, I'm old.
Hey,
I'm like with
need,
my
don't
wife
don't disparage
now.
That dude. He's valid.
Hey.
Okay, if I wouldn't have gotten drunk when I was 17, if it wasn't
this
for
is
him.
I wonder where he is.
I love the stories today. I'm not going to lie. The stories are awesome, okay? This is way out of the box, and that's where I love to be. So I have questions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. The questions that I have feel like they will be incorrect and offensive. And so well, I want to
salsa Sanchez. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're not going to be fucking salsa Sanchez yeah. over here offensive.
But I just want to be able to ask questions and to be respectful about it, right? So in the little person people community, mm-hmm. if you date or marry someone that is not a little person, do all the other little people call
oh,
you
that's
out
a good
on
question.
That?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's just like closed-mindedness like anybody else. There's some.
It's
yeah.
also like not like we live in a village, you know? Right. So it's like we're you guys, I have to like walk by like Willow where everyone's like, shame on you. Like the Game of Thrones, we're not doing that. Like, it's like you're usually like the one little guy in your town. So uh-huh. like, no one cares. If you're
but
online, you're just...
You know, like the deaf community with the cochlear implants yeah. now? A lot of the deaf people well, that use sign language, they don't like that because they're like, we're losing
a
whole community.
That's a whole different thing. So when there's limb lengthening, and that's where people will be like, whoa,
there's
wait
some
a
look
minute.
Down
you're
there.
Trying to like get taller? What's wrong with being little? So yeah. that's where you're like, that is where you will get a little bit of the... We all know what you did, you know. You kinda, I mean, you can still hang out at the party, but like everyone knows what time it is.
Wow. But I was gonna say, how? What were you like comparatively? Were you guys about the same stature and everything? Like you
yeah,
could have taken him.
It was actually would have been a very fair fight.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, but you said you thought he had martial arts training, right?
Yeah, but he had like an aggressive. So when you see a foreigner, I mean, I was like
when you
young
see
a foreigner,
like, no worries about you being PC. Okay.
You see a foreigner, little person, you're like, you don't know what kind of life this guy had, you know? Like,
yeah. oh yeah,
been out, that, like you know, yeah. who knows what it's
yeah,
like over
true.
There?
Yeah,
he's coming exactly. out here, like. He may be, like, just trained, like, ready to go. Like, he's just, like, you know, I literally met, like, the Jean-Claude Van Damme little guy, you know?
So is there a lot of drugs there then, too?
Nah.
No? Oh. Because that would be, like, my fear is, like, also if you're, like, that's my fear is to get into a fight with somebody who's, like, on PCP or something
no,
that I can't
fight. No,
it's
not, like, you got to, like, afford to, like, fly yourself there. It's
I
not, like
that
a
your,
wild, you know, there's
your
no,
fear
like,
is
meth.
Getting into a fight with someone on PCP. Mine would just be getting into a fight. You know what I mean? Not quantify it by saying,
you know, on PCP.
They can lift cars and stuff. I don't all know right. if that's true, but I heard it one
okay.
time.
Well, those are two very strong stories. We're going. Does anybody have any questions they want to ask anybody else about a story?
Not
or,
at this moment.
Not at this moment. Okay. And we're going to move on to our second stories.
So mine's actually also a fight story. Okay. This is one of three times I was choked out by a man in my life.
Ooh.
So I deserved it. Don't. I was being real
my
mouthy.
My dad choked me out. I didn't deserve it. Pound.
Good for Woo! You. Good for you. These are all strangers because I'm real mouthy.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get real mouthy. I have a real problem. My mom's like real rowdy person. Like she's one of those people that like she takes respect way too seriously. I'm like, it's not the 20s. Mom, calm down. Like she's like very like Capone about like, don't disrespect me. Like that's her thing. Uh-huh. And right. so when I started high school, she like drilled into my brain and drilled ever since that if someone disrespects you, you must react to that. You must be vocal and outward about the fact that that's not okay. So in my early 20s, I was real rowdy time in my life. I was not in a good place. I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of pills. And I would go to this bar.
Pills
and
a
lot of Vicodin. A lot of Vicodin. Which was funny that I would drink a lot and take Vicodin and then want to fight because that's like horrible conditions to fight in.
Well,
yeah,
I would think because when you take a lot of Vicodin that you don't digest as normally as possible that you want to get you get constipated.
Well, and I also wasn't I was snorting it, so I wasn't swallowing it, so it was a little
so
different.
If you snort Vicodin you don't get the side effect of constipation as I have questions Jessica
well I'm
as
I,
if you were ingesting them
I drank, that's a good question
I think that's a really good right right
I feel like you're asking me for later use but
no I'm totally serious
okay. No I don't know I don't know that I could tell you one way or another because I wasn't a healthy person at the time I was
okay.
also bulimic so my digestive system was fucked
okay.
from both ends
okay.
like it just wasn't a great situation I was just in a really bad and a real aggressive time in my life. It's when I like wasn't feeling good about myself and I wanted to fight all the time. And there's this one bar in my hometown. I'm from Fallon, Nevada. There's this bar in my hometown called Headquarters. And it's the only bar that's open until like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, so you wanted to fight in your hometown that you grew up in?
Always. Yeah. No.
Oh,
just
as a grown ass
adult. As a grown ass adult.
Oh,
like that's the trauma I was trying to
you
fight.
Needed, you needed to get into
remember
comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
One.
I needed comedy. Yeah. Yeah, or else I would still be at headquarters trying to fight people. So
I love that it's called headquarters.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it the best name for like...
It's going down at headquarters.
Yeah.
Or you could just sound like... It doesn't sound like you're just going to drink. You know, it sounds like you're going to a job.
And it's one of those bars, too. It's like so dingy and divey that when you open the bathroom door, the toilet is raised. Because when you see a toilet raised indoors, that usually means they had so much disgusting, filthy water damage underneath, they just had to rip it and raise the floor and start from scratch. So when you see a raised toilet indoors, that's usually what it means. It was really, and it was like the kind of toilet where your knees don't touch, your knees touch the wall if you're at all as tall as I am. Like the dingiest kind of bathroom.
That's what happens here at the Comedy Store.
It's important for you to know how small.
No, it doesn't stop.
Yes, there's not a lot of room for your knees.
Yeah, my knees touch the wall.
I've been at the Comedy Store for 25 years. Never have I thought, oh shit, my knees are about to touch the wall.
Well, no, that's because I'm talking about the new bathrooms and stuff that we have, and the ones in the main room old bathrooms. There was not enough, a lot of room for your knees.
That's not true, Jessica. What are you doing in the bathroom, Jessica? Jesus.
Pilates.
There's a conference. It's the headquarters of the bathroom.
Okay. We're going to go in and we'll test it.
Okay. So it's important for you. It's important for you to know the size of the bathroom, because the bathroom is like kind of the impetus for this whole fight that I get into.
The badis?
The impetus. Or the badis. No.
If you know cochlear implant, you got to know fancy words too, Jessica. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Okay.
She knows cochlear implant.
I don't know.
What is impetus? What the fuck is impetus?
Well, see, now I feel bad for asking. Now no. I'm never going to know.
No.
You will. It just means the thing that, it's the catalyst, the thing that set it all off.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was the fuse to the
dynamite. See, that was right, because last time I watched the episode, Povali said that you guys always laugh at me and that I never get the answer.
Oh, I'm glad I could give you an answer.
It's like when undergrad was a place.
Right? Yeah. That would have been a great bar name, you see?
Undergrad. Undergrad right next to headquarters. So I'm at headquarters. And it's like the time of the night, like it's like between 3:30 and 4, where me and all my ratchet ass girlfriends are like either parting off to get whatever dick we had gotten that night, or going home, or going to Jack in the Box.
Like a little person convention.
It's very much, yeah. Only if I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I wasn't playing much sports that day. But I see this guy at the end of the bar, and at first I think he's cute. He's like, we have a lot of military guys in Fallon because there's a military base. It's like the only thing that keeps the population alive. And he's like a big, ripped military guy. And he's got like kind of shaggy hair, so I can tell he's like on leave or something, and that's why he's out partying.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. And I was like, I might talk to him, but then I could tell that he was kind of a dick. And I have had this thing my whole life. I don't know what it is about me. Like in 2019, I haven't made it through one set where I haven't been heckled by a man. Not one. I haven't made it through one. I made it through one the other night. That's a lie. One.
It's because of the energy you let off.
It's, and my whole life.
Nothing that's not, that is
right,
wrong.
No, it's.
You look like you could beat the shit out of a man.
I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
I fought three men. You know, you just start.
I know, I'm like let me talk about it.
Take my boob out right now and show you what happens.
You're right. That's, my energy's real aggressive. You're right. So my whole life, alpha men have kind of always felt the need to challenge me without me even being involved. And this guy, I don't know him. We're all standing in a circle discussing, like, are we going to go to the next bar, or are we all just going to call it a night? Because nothing's going on. Nobody's getting dick except for my friend who had hooked up with the military guy's friend. His friend had gone into the bathroom with her, and they were hooking up. She's like the notorious bathroom fucker
friend. In that tiny little bathroom?
Yes. She's the notorious bathroom fucker friend. Like, she loves to, like, go in whatever bathroom you're in and then come out and be like, I blew that guy. And you're like, cool. Give me a dollar. I don't know what to tell you. So she's in there fucking his friend.
That means he would have had to stand on the toilet in that little tiny bathroom.
Well, let's hope her. I was just thinking that. I honestly, in my head, was thinking she had to get on her knees on that nasty floor.
Yeah, so he stood on the toilet, I'm sure.
I didn't know that trick. So I was like, thank you.
I'm just saying.
He also could sit on the toilet and she could straddle him. So there's multiple ways you could do it if you really wanted it to happen.
But if you're just sucking penis.
Well, I mean.
Don't ever say sucking penis in my presence again.
It's too much. It's too much. So I don't know the details of their hookup, unfortunately. I did not see them. But they're hooking up. He's like trying to like come into our group of friends, because I don't know if he thinks because his friend is fucking our friend, then that makes him our friend. But he's like listening to the conversation. He's staring at me through the middle of the group. And in the middle of the conversation, he points to my piercings in my nose and he goes, did those hurt? And I go, no. And he goes, well, they look like shit. And I was like, cool. Thanks for that. Yeah. And I was just at the point of the night where I was like, I'm not trying to like get too crazy with him. My friends all part ways a little more. I sit at the bar. I'm like, I'm just going to gamble. So I put $10 in the machine. I play Keno. I'm drinking. He sits at the opposite end of the bar. I can see him the whole time.
I love Keno.
Me too. Keno is my. I'm down for some Keno.
Is this Vegas or where is it?
It's Fallon, Nevada.
It's Northern Nevada. It's legal all over Nevada to gamble. So I'm playing Keno. I'm drinking a beer. I see him. He starts playing the jukebox and he keeps playing Enter Sandman over and over and over.
Oh my God, my stepdad. That's all he would play was Metallica, the same CD. And then my mom wanted to play Patsy Cline. Over and over.
Those
what
are
a...
real alcoholic choices.
Yeah.
Music.
Yes.
That is, I'm a huge metal person. And when you headbang by yourself, I'm like, we get it. Like, you need attention.
How hard?
He's headbanging hard. So hard that eventually he starts banging his head against the bar.
Ooh. No.
Over and so aggressively. And I get so mad. This is the point of the night where I like snap. I'm so tired. I'm so drunk. I've had the right amount of pills in my brain that I jump up out of my seat. I run around. I snatch the back of his hair. I lift his head up and I said, knock it the fuck off. And I let go. He was just drunk enough that when I let go, his head slammed into the bar.
Wow.
And busted his nose wide open. His nose starts to bleed. I see his nose bleeding. The next thing I see is I don't know what's happening. I can feel that I'm not on the ground. I can feel that I'm on my tiptoes. My hand is at my throat. And then I realize my hand is at my throat because he has me up. He has me up by my throat.
So he jumped up and grabbed your throat and lifted you off the ground.
Lifted me off the ground.
He did the Undertaker move from WWF.
And right? I was bulimic at the time. So I want to point out that I was a lot more frail at the time because this was in the height of my bulimia. So it was very easy for him to pick me up. He tosses me. I get the wind knocked out of me. They hear me making that like fish gut, the noise. All my friends, they come running. He gets into a fight with my guy friends. Like it becomes this whole thing. Eventually
it's all
over.
So was he like full on choking you?
Just enough that he could pick me up off the ground, but it was more like it's less of a choke and more of like he's hurting your jaw. When you get choked and picked up off the ground, it's...
That's why I was just trying to catch you in other things.
Listen, I've been choked and picked up off the ground 3 times, so I'm kind of an expert in it.
You might want to shut your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
Just saying.
I just figured out if I do it in a microphone on a stage, people will tip me. So.
Right.
Yeah, so that was one of the 3 times I got choked out by a man.
Wow. Two good stories. Road rash on your left breast.
Yes, left breast.
Where supposedly there is a scar that you're going to show us if the story is true.
If the story
Not
is
you
true.
Guys. She won't show you guys. She'll
I will show
us.
The women. Yes.
You will show us later. And then Andrew's like, I get nothing from this podcast. And then the second story about being choked out in a bar in Fallon, Nevada. Yeah.
Do you wear eyelashes every day?
I do, yeah.
That's a lot of commitment.
Well, I was in musical theater. I was in a traveling musical theater troupe for 8 years, so I lost a lot of my natural eyelashes from wearing them. And I've never had the patience to let them grow out, so I have very sparse eyelashes if I don't.
Yeah. Have you tried the magnet ones?
I haven't. No, I haven't. I'm real old school, though. Like I like a lot of the old school makeup stuff.
Okay.
It's the violence and terror of musical theater. Yeah. My eyelashes, I can't stop singing.
I thought maybe Jessica was asking you to that question to drill a hole in your story, but that seems
no,
to
but
be
sometimes
just curiosity.
It helps to get to know someone.
I would choke you out if I saw those eyelashes at a bar too, so I get it.
But also because I bought some magnetic ones, I haven't used them yet.
Okay, all right, I'm excited to find out too.
Well... So we're moving on to Nick's second story. That's a really good story, though.
Thank you.
You've told some really good stories. They've been both outlandish, and I just met you today, so it's weird when someone tells you a lie and a truth because you don't. Since you don't know them,
I don't know her either.
Yeah.
I
don't. then how did she get booked on the show?
Jessica
Reed. Is this a show?
Oh.
Yeah, I know Jessica
Reed.
She's here for one thing, to fight. Who's ready?
All right.
It's the headquarters.
By the way, Jessica Reed, very funny comedian.
Yeah.
Funny comedian.
She's doing the Filth Factory February 23rd.
Nice. Wonderful, yeah. wonderful. All right, let's go to your second story.
All right, so when I moved out here, I was like doing stand-up. But I was also producing, and I had taken over like this post house, so there would be like post production, and we would get random phone calls, so we would just get business from other people too, and we get random things like, hey, can you film this, can you film that, and I was kind of like hungover this one morning. It was like I get this call.
Nick, do you have a drinking problem?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I don't. But this is like, I'm just moving out here. And it was like, I actually don't even think. Now that you say that, I don't even know if I was hungover. It was just early in the morning. So I just literally answer the phone, and I'm like, hello? And this lady, she calls and she says, do you do funerals? Like, do you film them? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, we give you the HD package, you know?
The HD package.
Like, there is this HD package of funerals. And so literally I'm like, yes, we can film your funeral. And I'm like taking everything down, but it's like really early and I'm kind of just tired and I'm writing it down. She's like, yeah. So it's in Englewood. We want you to film this funeral, and it's Tuesday the 13th. I was like, wait a minute, so next Tuesday you want me? And she goes, yeah, the 13th. I said, okay. And it was one of those whiteboard, you know, I just write it down. Hire, you know, videographers, go to Englewood to this funeral. And so that's a whole other thing. I got to explain it to the camera people, like, hey, you're going to film at a funeral. And they're like, what? You know, but I had it locked. So I'm like, cut to Monday the next week. I get a phone call. It's a panic call. This lady is freaking out. She's like, where are you? I was like, what? She's like, what are you? You're supposed to be here at the funeral. I was like, what do you mean? You said Tuesday. You said it was on Tuesday. She said the 13th. I said it was the 13th. I look on the calendar and I find out that Monday was the 13th, even though she said
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And I was just thinking Tuesday. I write down Tuesday. I got people booked. She is freaking out. They had like a whole second line. It was like a whole crazy funeral. So she's like, where are you? You said you'd be here. And I'm going to like write a bad review about your. So now I'm freaking out and I'm panicking. Mind you, I'm wearing a basketball jersey and sweatpants. That's what I'm wearing at the time. And I'm like, all right, let me figure this out. So I call the guy that was supposed to be there to film the next day. And he's like, we are not going to show up late to a funeral in Englewood. And like, we're not. Like, we'd have to run right now. We're not doing it. So I end up just saying, you know what? Teach me how to work the camera. I don't know anything. I'm more of like the other side of producing. Like, I direct, I write, and do stuff like that. So
this is not smart.
I learned a tutorial on how to work a camera, and I just get in the car. This is like before GPS too, so I don't even know exactly where I'm going. There's no like Google Maps on my phone. I'm just driving. Got the camera in my hand.
Did you map quest it before you left?
No, like I knew. I sort of looked
on
computer.
How many years ago was this?
This is like 15 years ago. No, 12 years ago or so. 2000.
I love watching you're like cops on a procedural drama. I'm like, I can tell they're suspicious.
This is about 2000, somewhere between 2007, 2009. You know, I would say probably 2008, somewhere in there. Like, I don't know the exact date, but regardless, I'm now in the car and I'm just hauling. Like, I am riding as fast as I can to try to make like the end part of this funeral. I got my camera in hand. I'm in sweatpants. I got my basketball jersey, and I'm just driving. And I just start asking random people once I get into Englewood, like, "Hey, do you know where the funeral home is?"
You didn't
is?
Have a Thomas guide?
There's no. I don't even know. I'm not that old. I don't know what that Thomas guide. I don't know.
You were about to get hit today.
My bad. I'm not saying. Come on. I'm saying like I'm bad with directions in general. Even if I had the Thomas guide, I'd be lost with it. And I'm like, I never. That was kind of before my. I get lost with Google Maps, with GPS. You know, I'm digging myself in a hole.
Yeah, you are.
So I'm literally riding though, and I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. So I'm asking random people like. Where's this funeral home? Do you know where the funeral home is? And somebody tells me, they're like, it's around the corner. It's down the block, you know? And so I now get out and I'm so late that I don't want to check in. I just start filming. So I walk in and I'm like in this funeral. And I just start filming. I don't check in or introduce myself. And so like everyone's kind of like staring
like
at
creep.
Me.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck's going on?
In your sweatpants?
Like, yeah. In the sweatpants, in the jersey. And I'm like. You know, I'm in a funeral home. I'm like, this is the right place. So I'm filming, and like everyone's kind of staring at me, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's kind of weird. It's, you know, it's a funeral. You know, like, filming, and they're like, no, why are you here? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm here for Mr. Johnson's funeral, and they're like, this is not Mr. Johnson's funeral. So like, come to find out that I'm filming the wrong funeral. You know, and so then I get back in my car, and I find out where the actual funeral home that I was trying to get to was.
Oh, it wasn't even the same funeral home.
This was a different funeral home. So now I get there. Everything's, like, done, you know, at this point. You know, like, the people are literally walking back to their car. They have like, I'm literally just filming people go to their car, you know, and it's like this, you know, I'm like the only white guy. Everyone's at the car. It's like, it's kind of chaos.
You've been saying Inglewood this whole time, haven't you?
Yeah, he said Inglewood.
I thought it was a place I didn't know called Englewood.
Englewood?
No, that's what you were saying. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be sorry about.
That's the deal.
So let me ask you, do you remember what kind of camera it was?
Yeah, it was a, it was the HVX. It was the version before it. So it was like
a Sony? Is that Sony?
Yeah. It was a Sony camera.
Was it a Vixia?
Mm-mm. No, it was like so there was the HVX, which I think it was a Panasonic. I honestly don't remember. But yeah. It was like the old school one. It was a 100.
Was it one that you had to like kind of put on your?
It was heavy for me too. Yeah. So it looked like ridiculous. So uh-huh. I was like, and I'm not. It was really bad footage.
What was it like?
It was not good.
What, everybody's knees? Like what was it? Yeah. What was it?
It was like a straight shot. it wasn't good. It was not good footage. I did not win an Academy Award in the end.
Oh man.
Did she ever call you back or
did she leave you a bad review?
No. She didn't leave me a bad review. She actually appreciated that because I owned up to that it was my fault.
And so why were you so afraid of the bad review? Was it on Yelp?
Yeah, no, this is like pre.
I was going to say, like, that's how I was going to trick you up.
No, this is pre-Yelp. So this is like, it wasn't even like a bad review. Honestly, I just didn't want to lose the gig. So uh-huh. I was kind of like, it was like, I just want to get this together. And I was like, I realized it was on me being uh-huh. disorganized.
And did
that
you?
That was the bottom line. That I wrote it down. I should have wrote down the date.
Right.
And cross-checked to go, okay, this is the date.
Called her not the day before.
Listen, not just listen
just check
to.
Check in.
Yeah. Well, she gave me the address. And she said, you know, it's next week, Tuesday the 13th. And
did you actually see her at the funeral?
I don't think I saw her. I saw her sons. Mm-hmm. And they were mad. They were not fans because, like, I was late and they had this, you know.
Did you wear sweatpants again?
No, he was wearing sweatpants.
I'm still in sweatpants.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They weren't really, like, sweatpants. They were, like, sort of like nylon basketball style. Like,
oh, so funeral sweatpants.
Like, they were like, it was like I was like also could warm up for like a basketball game.
Right. Yeah. Oh, the type that have buttons and you can just go.
But I should have, I mean, in hindsight, there's a lot of things I should have done right. You're absolutely right. I should have, you know, MapQuested better. I should have figured out because I used to at that time, I was still handwriting, you know, because my printer never worked. But I would always handwrite out.
We all feel that pain.
I would always handwrite out the directions from the computer.
Many questions I have. Many questions.
You were like a good cop in your past life or something. You were like,
well,
you're so good.
I know, because
at
I have
you're
messed
good.
Up thoughts. Like, did you fear for your safety because you had screwed? Look, I'm telling you the truth.
No,
because
it's true.
If I, like someone in my family died and I hired someone to do that, and this is. You know,
in grief, you could do anything.
You could. Right. Were you afraid for your safety?
What? I bizarrely, I have like bizarre confidence when it comes to certain situations that I'm just gonna like make it work out. And so I don't even think a lot of times when I probably should throughout uh-huh. this, throughout you know traveling all over the world, I go to bizarre places and I'm like, uh-huh. I'm fine. It'll work out. So
do you ever, I think
have,
what she's thinking in her mind,
no,
is that being a little person that day saved your life.
Yeah, I think. Being a,
oh, being a
little person probably was worked it towards your advantage that
because if you were
so.
Like a grown man coming in sweatpants,
you would have got your ass beat.
But a big dude, you know what I mean? And they would have been more likely to team up on you and like, what the fuck, dude?
I mean, I don't think there is a set dress code for funeral filming.
I think it's not sweatpants.
yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Probably not.
And I'm pretty sure it's not a jersey either.
That's where I was at wrong.
Here's my problem with that story is you're saying the people that you hired to go on Tuesday, which supposedly was the 13th, in all actuality it was the Monday, they said, no, we don't have enough time to go down there to shoot this funeral, but we have enough time to come to you and teach you how to use this camera.
No, so that's the thing. That there was a guy,
right?
There was a guy. So there was a guy in the office.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just tired and butchering the story. But there was a guy in the office that didn't know how to work.
What was
camera.
Guy's name?
Sean.
Why didn't you send that guy?
What color was Sean's
hair? Because
he
didn't want to go. He knew that this was a funeral in Englewood. He didn't even – he was like, this is crazy. Why are we – we weren't like that in need of the gig, you know. And he was like, this sounds a little nutty. Why are you
I have complicated feelings about this story, Nick. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good story, but I have complicated feelings.
I mean, not to offend, but I just don't understand wanting to record a funeral either.
Yeah.
That's the
– Well, because it can be like I had a – there was a comic named Drake Sather who passed away and he had very young children.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so for them, I went and photographed his funeral because this little girl probably wouldn't remember a lot of it.
Right.
So it was – so it's – I could see why
some
people –
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would get that done. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we're going to start with Jocelyn's stories.
Okay.
And do you have any questions? Nick, you can also ask questions. Andrew is welcome to ask questions, our producer.
Yeah.
Any questions, Andrew?
Where were you performing in Oklahoma?
I was performing at this place called the Boondocks. It's a bar. It's a bar in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. It's about 2 hours east of Claremore, Oklahoma. Okay. Lavelle Harris runs that show.
Lavelle, that sounds like an Oklahoma name. You know what? You guys know who came in here last night and watched the show?
Who?
Nobody recognized him or knew who he was except for me. Trace Adkins.
Who's that?
He's a country singer.
My honky tonk, badonka donk.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, really?
Keeping perfect rhythm, make you wanna swing along. Yeah. No, I like music.
Oh, wow.
Of all kinds.
Okay, I'm just surprised when Jessica knows music and other people know it too.
I'm getting the vibe I'm getting the vibe that we're a little bit of kindred spirits on this side of the table.
Yes, yes. Because what was that? One time we were in the car and you were like that guy.
Clarence Carter. You know the song Strokin'?
Yeah.
You line dance to it.
Yeah.
I'd be strokin'.
Strokin'.
I thought she was bullshitting me. I was like, strokin' what?
To the west.
No, yeah.
I like that. That's good. A little country time.
Yeah, listen. Well, I mean, Fallon's a very like redneck town. Like the only thing we have is rodeo and teen pregnancy. I mean, that's like the two things we have.
I'd like to go to a real rodeo.
Oh, it's so much fun. You have to go.
I would love to.
You have to go. You should try and come around the time that it's going on, and then we can go hang out at the Dirty and do some comedy.
Yeah, let's go to the...
I would totally do that.
Yeah.
You guys should also do the Filth Fact. Let's talk about this
okay. All right, so Andrew...
Let's book it all right now.
Let's book it.
This is how
it's
going to
be on Tuesday the 13th.
Book it right now while you're still on. Yeah. Is that a Monday? Is that a Monday? Let me write this down.
Nick, we want to be clear. The dress code is not sweatpants.
I feel like it's going to get booked. I'm going to be the only one here on the Monday going, where are you two? We're recording today, right?
And you are correct. Okay. So I'm totally teasing. Andrew, so what are your questions?
Well, it was just, where it is. Because I feel like I know most shows that would be going on in Oklahoma just from being in the thing. I just, of course, obviously some random bar show. I may not know.
I am 100% the negative nobody. So I work the real, you know, like there's B rooms. I work like the D rooms. So these were like just like, but they're all great shows. They're just, you have to drive 2.5 hours to get them from. And there's no, this is, Claremore's 30 minutes outside of Tulsa.
All right, so I'm just going to clarify what's going on. Your first story is about getting road rash on your left breast.
In the woods in Oklahoma, yeah.
I've been looking at it. It looks fine.
Yeah, by getting run over by your own car. And the second story is you're in Fallon, Nevada.
And I got choked out.
And you got choked out by a beefy-looking dude that was obviously very drunk and head-banging.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question for the table. If you saw a little person, and I want fucking full honest answers, doing the salsa by himself, and you saw this beefy looking dude head banging at the bar, who would be sexier? The floor is open.
Sexier?
It depends on how good they both look. I mean, come on, like
the
little man could be salsa in like a sumbitch.
Who said that the little Spanish guy didn't have nice? Long flowing
hair. That's what
was he handsome?
I mean,
he had to be handsome if the girl was sure
true.
He was.
I'd have to go.
No one is answering my question.
I would have to say he's sexier.
The little person.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would, you know, like salsa, that's sexy and passionate. Like headbanging and banging your head against a bar, that just means like you probably took too many supplements that day or something.
Right.
I think back in my day, I would have went for the idiot.
And which one would that be?
The headbanging guy.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I wanted to clear that up.
I agree. If you caught me probably 2 years before that year, I probably would have still tried to sleep with him.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. Any questions that you have for Jocelyn about any of her stories?
So you got, like, did you have to go to the hospital?
Yeah, that's my
question. That kind of thing. What happened?
Did you not hear the part where I'm a redneck? I don't go to the hospital unless something's hanging off of me.
She was
already on Vicodin and she had the painkiller. She's totally good.
What happened when you woke up and, like, there was, like, teenagers, like, staring at your boob or, you know,
when you passed out.
Oh, when I passed out in the hallway. Yeah. Oh.
Good question.
Nobody woke up. I was just, that was my first thought because it was 3 a.m. So my fear was that, like, one of their teenage sons who coincidentally had started masturbating that weekend and they felt the need to tell me about it.
It's probably because of you.
Yeah. He was like, I saw our tits out in the hallway and now I know what to do. And so I just was fearful of it. They didn't actually see me.
Now, I will say too, hydrogen peroxide usually doesn't sting that much, but you get the
road rash, like anything stung. Okay. Like it just like alcohol, the air, like because that next weekend I had to drive. I was doing loonies in Colorado Springs. So I had to drive to Colorado Springs and I had to spend all day long because you're not supposed to keep road rash covered up. So I would literally have to just like hang out in my hotel room bed topless, like airing out my road rash and watching Law and Order.
Did you ever did 2 years later, did it ever like a small pebble fall from your breast? Like one that you couldn't find? You're like, whoa.
No, but I have had things fall off of my breasts that I forgot were there. So it did is a big
that
boob
happens
problem.
To me all the
it's
time.
It's a big boob problem. You put things in your bra and then you get sweaty and then suction happens and you take your bra off and you walk like all the way across your bedroom before pennies start falling on the ground.
Like, where did that come from?
First of all, if you're putting pennies in your bra, you have bigger problems than I can identify.
Trash. How many times do I have to say
at least white quarters.
Trash? I come from white trash. I've never seen any of my relatives put a penny in their bra.
Well,
keys,
you get change and you just
wallets,
stuff it in there.
Yeah. Right. When you have big boobs, you'll put literally anything in your bra.
Yes, I did it last night.
Quarters.
As a matter of fact, so
sense,
I know.
Okay,
but
wow.
I wanted because you used hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah,
my favorite thing about using that is you know it's working when you see the bubbles.
It's all white and bubbly. Yeah.
Now, did you get some good bubble action?
Oh, I got so much bubble action from road rash. It was the most intense, but you could hear it. That's how much bubble action.
Yeah, that's
hear the
good.
And how long did it take for it to all heal up?
Well, I went to the emergency room when I got back to Las Vegas, obviously, because what happened from the force of it, I actually got a large hematoma in my breast, and I was afraid that it might turn into something more serious.
What's a hematoma?
Hematoma is a hard packet of blood, and you risk like it clotting and coming off as a clot, so you have to like massage it all. I'd have to just like walk around massaging my breast to like break up.
Yeah, you know, like when a boxing match or UFC, when someone gets an egg,
yes,
that's actually a hematoma, right?
Yes,
am I right?
Yeah, but it was just inside my breast.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
That sounds like the ultimate like excuse for like the guy that's like a harasser. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to help her. So
yeah, just trying to massage a hematoma. Don't want
to help her. I don't want to give her a blood clot.
A professional hematoma massager.
Okay, that's weird.
But it took about a month for the road rash to heal, and the hematoma is still there. It started out the size of, I would say, a large avocado, and now it's like the size of. Like a Mentos. Like it's pretty small now.
Oh, you still have it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's clear you know a lot about this.
Yeah.
So if it didn't, if this did not happen to you, it had to have happened to somebody close to you.
Well, I will tell you guys because I just want to confuse you more. And this is true. I can prove it. I was voted most likely to cure cancer in high school. I gave up full ride scholarships to college to be a doctor so that I could do
comedy. I did read on her website that
she had
three rides. What do they call it? When
three full rides. Yeah.
Three full rides out of high school to go to college.
Why did...
I wanted to do stand-up.
The mom. Are you
crazy? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You couldn't have went to college and did stand-up at the same time?
It just didn't make sense to me. And I was really like mentally not in the right place at the time. And I had like a mental breakdown and I just ended up moving to Wyoming and working for Verizon for a year.
So you didn't even do comedy?
I didn't do comedy for 4 years after, no, 5 years after I graduated high school.
How old were you when you first did comedy?
23.
That's nuts. Anyway, so we're going to, that's insane because my kids are about
so
to go
she,
to college.
So she's verified very smart.
I will talk to your children and tell them to never do what I did and to absolutely go to college.
I think every comic's like, don't do this. Why? You're like some people that are like crazy.
They just don't want competition.
Like, I just want to do it, whatever. I'm like, do it. That's fine. But I'm telling you, like, you're, you know. Yeah.
Oh, my main plan was stand-up. My backup plan was musical theater. So real solid head on my shoulders.
Wow, that made me sad for you. Okay, yeah, it's thank time you. For us to vote on Jocelyn's
Let's,
story.
Let's go on a positive note here. Yeah. We're going to prove you to lie.
All right, so Andrew, what do you think about her stories? The first one about the road rash on her left breast with the hematoma that's the size of a Mentos right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Detail catches.
Or the choke out.
Or the second story, getting choked out.
I'll say the car is the lie.
Why do you think that's the lie?
Location.
Because you think that because I got booked for an Oklahoma show you don't know about that that's a lie.
Yeah. I mean, just because I figure at least I would have heard something. It makes sense. Right. It's not like California.
Wait a minute. I know every show between here. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about Lancaster, I know you're lying.
It's not like California. There's a thousand shows going on. I mean, like, Oklahoma, there's like 7 going on a month. Like, I feel like I would at least heard something.
Right.
So that's my basis.
And how many years ago was this?
2 years ago. It was not this last summer, but the summer before. Yeah. We were still living with my parents.
So you weren't
then.
There.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. This is you were in Vegas, weren't you?
No. I lived in Oklahoma up until, I still live there if you're a legal person, a lawyer or whatever. No, because I moved out here this
we just
September
end
of
his
17.
Car insurance right now. On this. Yeah.
So you're saying the first story is a lie.
That's what I'm saying.
And the second story is true about her getting choked out by a headbanger in Fallon, Nevada at the headquarters.
Look at you. God.
Because I have to do that
could be a cop.
To keep the story.
I swear to God, in a past life, she was a cop.
Like a legitimate, like.
And Nick, what do you think?
I think the fight story was a lie.
And why do you think the fight story was a lie?
Because there was more detail that just seemed like on the injured boob story.
That's true, because when you were telling the fight story at the bar called the headquarters, I didn't have one question, even when you were defining where he sat at the bar, where you were at the slot machine. I didn't question once or did not not understand what you were saying. And the first story, when you were telling that story about getting run over by your own car, I felt confused about where were you
standing. Orientation.
The orientation of it, right? So that's a very good point. That's a very good point. So you think the second story is a lie?
I think yeah.
And Jessica?
I'm going second.
I think that the second story is a lie as well, because that first story was very tricky with the placements and all, but for me, she nailed it every time when I had any kind of question about where, how did that work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first story is so fucked up, though, about the road rash and getting run over by your own car.
I know, but like
my apologies for interrupting, but then also passing out at 3 a.m. Like, what kind of fucked up story is that?
Like my sister, when she was on a lot of pills and stuff, like I could see her doing that. You know, I could see her doing something like that with the car and that happening.
So were you on the pills when the
car? No,
thing?
I was not. There 2 years ago, I've been clean off pills for like, I'm 30 now,
you
so I've been clean
sober.
Off pills for like 10 years.
This is a sober story about her getting run over by the car.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, she's still on. She'd been like, well, here's Tuesday. Here we go.
How terrible that was true about the gravel and the road rash that you were sober when that happened.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to say that first one's true, so maybe we'll see a boob.
Okay. Well, there you go. That is a difficult one. I'm going to say, and because I think everyone made very valid points in why they're choosing to call out which one as the lie. But I'm going to say she did have more detail on the story about the guy choking her. And I do feel a little hesitant to say the first story is the truth, as I said, because I was very disoriented by the story.
You don't think that the first story had a lot of details with hematoma?
Yeah, that's true. That had, but then
that was
maybe,
post-story kind
but
of.
But this could have been that she knew a guy that got in a fight and got a hematoma, so she knew about all the hematoma.
The medical jargon.
I was so afraid they were going to totally know which one was a lie. I'm so excited that you guys are confused.
So I'm
going to
say the first one was the truth, and it's the second one that was a lie.
And so you agree with me and Nick?
Yes.
You agree with me and Nick?
I'm all by my lonesome on the opposite side.
Yeah. Andrew's wrong. You guys are right. The first story is true.
That's how we like it.
That's how we
Second story is also true, but it was my mother who that happened to.
Oh, man.
That's my mom's story. Yeah.
And you're like, that was my stepdad.
You even gave us a little Easter egg as you were telling that, because telling us how crazy your mom was and angered.
I thought about this, you guys. Yeah. I listened to the podcast. I was like, okay, I can't come in here like...
We love stiff competition.
Yeah, that was all good.
Right. Now we move over to Nick, and Nick's is about the Little People convention where he got very angry from a Spanish fella who was doing some very aggressive self-salsing. I guess we'll say that's what that was.
Salsa Sanchez.
We didn't need to repeat that, Andrew. And, and that he threatened the guy because the guy actually... got in with the girl that he had the crush on at that Little People.
Yeah.
God, to be such an asshole where someone's like, yep, gonna go with a Spanish fella, salsa in the corner. That's pretty, that's an amazing.
It's talent.
It's an amazing story, but B, that you would admit that you were that big of a jerk.
Interesting point.
But he is from Philly, so that's what Maya was thinking. I was like, Nick is a really nice guy, but he is from Philly, and I bet he was... had a fucked up attitude back in the day.
Even if the story's a lie, we know he did have a fucked up attitude back in the day.
But the second story, I got to tell you, is I do a lot of photography and stuff like that. And I can't imagine if you were working at a production house. Was it your own production house, or was it something you owned with other people? How long had that production house been going?
So it was a production. It used to be like a post house. We took over the lease, but we still had their phone number. So we would get actually calls coming in for the old business, not us.
Okay. And then how long did you own that business before this scenario happened with the funeral? A couple years. I can't imagine that you would be in business for a couple of years and you would make that basic of a mistake. And
to just throw out that there's no dress code for funerals?
Yeah, please.
I mean, you know you have to get dressed up when you video a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to say that you called the other photographers and videographers and they said no, but then all of a sudden you mysteriously had someone else in the office that taught you how to use the camera but was too afraid to go to Inglewood. And I'm fucked up about the Thomas Guide thing.
Nobody had a Thomas Guide. I'm sorry, Felicia.
No, I'm saying that if you didn't have an app with maps on it,
MapQuest.
I think the timing doesn't work out.
I understand as a traveling professional who needs to get around.
Don't think that works out.
You would have some sort of way to find places you don't know where they
and
are.
I was divorced, and this is what I think about too. I was divorced or separated from my ex-husband in 2007, and I used to go back to Kansas all the time. That's where I'm from. And I remember going back, and it was right around when you had maps on your phone and some kind of app situation. It didn't always work because you're in the middle of nowhere and the reception was bad. So I'm going to say the first story is true about the salsa dancer, and the second story is a lie about the funeral. And what do you say, Jocelyn? Any questions?
I don't have any questions because I have the same theory. And that's because when you were telling the first story, you were like so into it. And like you kept, like you even hit the table. And
But I told him not to hit the table.
True.
during the podcast.
But the second story, he kept grabbing his ear. And I don't know, but my...
Did he?
Yeah, he kept grabbing his left ear.
That's true. I noticed that. I thought maybe he had an itchy ear.
Yeah, and so that, to me, speaks to somebody who's like... I was just watching his body language. I wasn't like... I was listening to the story, but for me, the first story definitely rang as like true as something like historically in your life. The second story rang to me as something that's like a version of a version of a version of something that happened to you. So I'd say the first story is true. Second story is a lie.
What do you think, Andrew?
I'm going to go with the same. First one's true. Second one's a lie. Just because I feel like, the whole mixing up the date would be... I mean, I can feel like it happening. Maybe it happened to someone you worked with. Maybe this didn't happen to you. And it just... Filming a funeral seems odd to me still. Even though you gave the thing, but I just...
How many funerals have you seen on TV?
A lot.
Because they were film bitches, that's why.
No, not everybody's Michael Jackson, though. Like, yeah, or Prince. Like, that makes sense to me. They're like a global icon. That makes sense.
Yeah, but even if you see where some horrific crime happens and people are at no one's funeral where the horrific crime, I don't mean it that way, but whoever the horrific crime happened to, there's always video of the funeral.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So,
I think there's video of everything now, to be fair.
Like, why are we acting like it's such a strange idea? Yeah. That's.
I think the video at the funeral is the lie, though.
And you, Jessica?
Agreed.
The video thing, does it kind of sound like the plot of a movie? Like, where it would start off as?
You think everything sounds that's like true. The plot of a movie.
If that's a movie, that's a Coen Brothers movie. it's going to get real awkward.
If it's not true, you should go home and write
Breaking
that.
Bad. Yeah.
This is rough because I think Nick's a really nice guy, and I don't know if I would see you fighting
when he's from Philly when he was 20 and he's having his first drink like a sorority girl.
And he did play a fighter and fighters.
He did.
But didn't you see him throw those two punches a second ago? He knew how to throw a punch.
Yeah, but he's done that on TV.
And that was post this.
That's true.
So, you know.
I still think the first one's true.
Me too. Yeah.
So what do you think, Jessica?
You are making me doubt myself.
Are you friends with, have I seen you on that TV show that was with about the Pipples and Shorty?
Oh my God.
What, Pit Boss or whatever it is?
No. Like, yeah. No.
We don't know. I've not been on every random. Hey, were you on Little People Women, Georgia? Yes, I was. I served on Little Dallas for 4 years. Little Women Dallas.
I served.
Were you with the Pit Bulls? Get out of here. I got a French Bulldog. Come on, man.
Aww.
So does
I'm actually scared of pit bulls.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
I swear I got bit in the face by one.
No, okay. I would be afraid.
Lie.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of pit bulls. I get afraid of pit bulls. Yeah.
You know, I'll say that the first story is true just because as a young kid, especially as a guy, I feel like you have a lot of testosterone that's really drives how you do things and how things happen, and you probably had that really build up, and then you know you're trying to get this girl and you had the chance and you were ready to fight.
But then when he told that story about getting ready to fight and that the place is crazy and everyone is and the sports, he was repeating it a lot. He was repeating it a lot. And
he didn't know the days and stuff. He was like, I don't know what day it was.
Right. And when I said, what day were you? No, I don't know. I was just, so, yeah.
And I don't believe there was no drugs there.
Yeah.
If there was a guy salsaing by himself, there was definitely drugs there.
He's at least on ecstasy. Like
It's not a rave. It's a little people convention.
I'm just saying.
At least an ecstasy.
Listen,
Come on, man.
I'm from Vegas. All conventions have drugs. Like, it's different.
Well, definitely in Vegas.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. I still feel like the funeral story's like...
Okay.
I can't imagine. I think it's like a compliment to you that nobody can imagine you forgetting a date and not being well prepared.
Yeah, don't think that the second one's true.
On the second story, when you bought into this production house or took it over, did you have partners?
Mm-hmm.
And was the gentleman that you said taught you about how to use that camera, was he your partner?
It was somebody else that we shared a space with other people. So it wasn't actually my partner. It was somebody else that was just there that also used the space, and he didn't want to do it. He was like a hired gun, and he was like, I'm not going to go late.
It's a lie. That story's a fucking lie.
It's
all right.
It's a lie.
Yeah. We all think that's the lie. So what is the lie?
That's the truth. That's the true story.
Damn you, Nick. Damn you.
I gave a nice low energy story there on that one. So for the little people thing, the truth part is that there is like the high testosterone, so that's where
there
I'm like,
is the what?
Like high testosterone where you're like trying to like impress
the vibe is the same.
The vibe is the same.
In the whole
and there was a French guy that I did one time, but there was no like crazy, like I'm emailing him and I'm trying to like, and I'm,
Was he, the French guy was not salsaing by himself.
No. he did end up going out with a girl that I liked, though. So that's like the true part of it was that I was
like I had a thing
for this girl and like this little French guy, you know.
Well, I am kind of relieved because I was like, man, if you're that much of a jerk where a guy, a dwarf salsoing by himself is sexier than...
I tried moving it because the real guy that was French and I was like, if I go French, I gotta pick a country that's kind of relatable. Like, I can't be like, you know, this guy from, like, you know, he's like some crazy country, like a Mongolian guy, he's in there.
You just went for another romance country. Kinda,
I'm like, not French, because that was the truth.
Wow. Damn it.
Good job. So this is the part of the podcast where Jessica gets to pick who is the winner, who is the best liar.
Well, clearly in this one, I'm so sorry, Jocelyn. Yeah. Clearly the actor... is the winner, and that's Nick. Woo-hoo!
Nick wins the podcast.
You definitely win.
I get home the scumbag run. Award for lying. You know.
Now we're thank you guys for coming on to the podcast. Thank Where you for can people us. Find you, and what would you like to promote quickly?
JocelynSharp.com, JOZALYN Sharp like a sharp knife.com. That has all my social media links, super easy to find. You can also find all my shows there. The Filth Factory once a month in Las Vegas. So if you're in the area, it's a free show. It's $20 all you can drink. So you can't really
Whoa!
Get.
Whoa. Ooh, man, that's gonna be awesome.
Wow. Yeah. So just keep a lookout. We're gonna bring people in from all over the country to do that show. It's been a really fun time. The premise of the show is that we want like a safe place and a professional comedy club for people to work on blue material, because you don't really get that. It. You don't really get that when you first start. So I bring in pros to end the show, and then I let three open micers open the show. Right. So it's kind of that's like cool. a little bit of both.
Well,
worlds.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
What about you, Nick?
Hey, Nick Novicki, you could go to nicknovicki.com or follow me at Nick Novicki, NICNOVACKI. Got a bunch of shows coming around town. I'm going to be at the Aspen Comedy Fest next week, opening for Nate Bargatze. And
oh, nice.
Awesome.
And, and a couple other shows that are one other on that. And then, you know, a bunch of shows around town. So.
Wonderful. Nice. And I would like to say a very big thank you to the Comedy Store. We have been doing this podcast about 6 months now, and we started out by sneaking around the club and recording. and now we are down here in the studio, and we're very happy to be here, and we want to thank everybody that helps us put this live on the Comedy Store on Facebook, and thank you very much. And Andrew, where can people follow you, and what do you want to say to our listeners?
You can follow me everywhere at @OneAndrewRose, all across the board, arosecomedy.com, follow the link, get my book, blah, blah, blah. Me, Jessica, and Felicia just want to say thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Please tell your friends. Also, give us a like, a rate, a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. We are available on Stitcher, Spotify, Laughable, iTunes, Google Play, and wherever else podcasts are available. For the live listeners, we do have a live show this Friday, the 15th, at the Ice House in Pasadena. You can go to the Ice House website for tickets. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening.
And I've been Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
I'm at Jess Wellington 2 on everything, and you've been lied to.
Oh, I did want to say very quickly that we're going to start out.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Jessica, I ruined it.
That
we're still
great,
going
That
live.
Was a great moment. Because it was like it was a great end moment where you're like, and hey, you can follow me here.
Know,
it's like a bad guy that throws smoke down.
What I wanted to say is you can follow us and see us hopefully at the Comedy Store Live on Facebook at 4:30 on Mondays and mostly on Fridays at 8:30 to 9:30. We will hopefully also be there for that too. And thank you very much.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Oh. Ah. She flipped it.